Your worth coming from a human being can only last about 5 minutes.
Helping you develop the courage to get unstuck and reclaim your purpose in a life that never stops moving. This is Win Today. And now, here's your host, Christopher Cook.
Hey guys, welcome to the show this week. I'm so glad you joined me. Thank you as always for the download. It's a pleasure to have this conversation with you. You know, our present tense sense of identity and purpose, the world around us, and our ability to cope with both relationships and the demands of daily life are significantly shaped by our belief system, our emotional health, and past experiences. Experiences that literally create cellular memories on our DNA. Simply stated, guys, our internal root system brings clarity and understanding as to why we make the decisions we make. Joining me today is a renowned speaker and coach. His name is Chris Locurdo, and I'm going to be talking to him about exactly that subject. Buckle your seatbelt, take some notes. Here's my featured conversation with Chris Locurdo. Chris, welcome to Win Today. How are you doing?
I am doing good, brother. It's so good to be on. So good to be talking to you. It's been a while.
It's been a while. Yeah.
I'm honored to be on your show.
Oh, the honor's all mine. You and your team welcomed me with open arms just over a year ago, and your influence upon my life, really, Chris, has just been tremendous. I'd love for everyone joined in this conversation to learn a bit more about you. Could you give us maybe a brief overview of your professional journey and maybe what led you to the team at Poimen you're leading today?
The goal of what we do here is to help and change lives. I mean, that is our mission. Our mission is to worship God by loving on His kids. And that's what we do. And how I got here, it's funny. It's been such a God process. God's been guiding me in this direction for decades. When I was younger, even when I was a kid, I was always helping people. Always. I mean, I remember in third grade, I can remember trying to help out some of the kids in my class with some external stuff. It wasn't even school stuff. It was just, hey, I can help you in your life there. I mean, it's just ridiculous. What do you know as a third grader, right?
Right.
So, you know, I can look that far back. And as I got older, now nobody wants to listen to a third grader, so it didn't really matter. As I got older and I got into my first real leadership job, I always, you know, laugh about this because I was on the ground floor of E-Trade. We're out in West Palo Alto in Stanford area.
Wow.
And we were growing, and I was on the ground floor of that bad boy, and we were taking off like crazy. And I got promoted to it was a really big leadership role for a young age. It was the assistant customer supervisor position, and I discovered very quickly because I'd been working since I was 14 years old. And I had a few leaders in my life up until that point, and I had discovered I started doing the same thing they were doing that I was taught, which is leadership meant you tell people what to do. And I started telling people what to do, and the people who really liked me up until that point stopped liking me because that's the way that everybody else was leading as well. I noticed super fly quickly that was not the way to lead, and I started making adjustments to, instead of telling people what to do, what I call taxing the collective intelligence, I started finding out what people knew, what they understood, gained their wisdom and knowledge, and helped guide them to stuff. Now, keep in mind, I'm only an assistant, you know, supervisor. So I'm not even the full on supervisor, but I was still in a leadership role to an extent. And so that's what I learned very quickly is I can see the faces to this day, 27 years, 26 years later, I could still see the faces to this day as I tried to lead and the responses. And then when I stopped leading that way and the responses, then that began a journey. And I've been leadership roles and I own, you know, entrepreneur, I own 4 businesses. And so I've been doing this for a long time now. And later on down the road, I went to work for a buddy of mine, Dave Ramsey, and he hired 5 of us. I think it was 5. It may have been 3, but there was only 18 of us at the time.
Oh, my gosh.
But yeah, he's up over 600 now. But there was just a handful of us that he brought on. He said, listen, I don't need leaders. I need entrepreneurs. I need people to run businesses for me. And so he hired a handful of us to run businesses for him and began a process there. And obviously, I mean, we taught leadership, we taught finances for decades and you know, obviously he still is. And the leadership stuff, I used to coach people and teach people. We started this event called Entree Leadership that has now taken off and it's become huge.
Absolutely.
We started that back in the day of me trying to convince Dave we needed to do this. It was like, we can't do it. We can't do it without a book. We started that event 7 years before the book ever came out. It was because I knew we could change people's lives with that. And I got that insight from some folks that that were outside of our business going, you need to take this to the public. And so we did. It took off. Well, I'd be on stage teaching and I could step off the stage and somebody would come up to me and go, can I just have 5 minutes? And I'd spend 5, 10, 15 minutes with them and rock their world. You know, it was something that was just deep in their personal situation. And I love, don't get me wrong, I love the stage. The stage is a happy place for me. I'm a teacher. I love to teach. I could care less about fame or any of that junk. I love teaching. And so I don't care if it was, you know, a handful of people or if it was 10,000 people in an arena. I love being in that place because if I can just get to your heart and help change something in your life, that's fantastic. I feel like I'm worshiping God in the process. And an interesting thing kept happening. As I would coach people, people would track me down. We'd go to events and people would track me down and just go, can I just have lunch with you? And I'd be like, yeah, I mean, I guess so. I mean, this is we're doing this event for you, but if you want, sure. And I would talk through situations with people and it would just blow them away. Well, I kept feeling like I was hearing God say, you're going to be doing this on your own someday.
Wow.
And I'm like, that can't be you, God. That must be the Mexican food I just ate. Because that just can't. I mean, look at where we are. Look at what we're doing. This is phenomenal. This platform's huge. And this is great. We're changing lives. And I kept hearing that for 3 years. I heard God saying that. I felt like I heard God saying that. And then one day it was, I definitely did hear. I knew it was him. One day I was walking down the hall and it was, you will leave. And it was so strong and so powerful. I was like, oh, I don't even want to know what that means. And so I started a process of telling Dave that it was time for me to go. And he would not let me go. It was tough. There was a ton of tears. It was painful. It was difficult. And he kept saying, you need to go pray more. And I'm like, Dave, I've been praying for 3 years. Well, go pray some more. And then I come back and it was just very difficult. It was tough for both of us. But I knew what God was telling me to do. And so I took the big leap of faith, which was also surrounded with a lot of fear, you know, stupid fear, unhealthy fear, and took that leap of faith. And before I even left, he'd already started building my business. And he proved it to me in a specific way with a client that just came out of nowhere. Somebody had helped him and his sons. They all ran this business together and helped them in their family and their business, and just to discover a ton of stuff inside their business from the life side of what was affecting their business. And I hung up the phone and it was my first client that funded this business before I ever even started the business. And I was like, that was you, wasn't it? And I felt like God said, I told you I've got this. And I was like, wow, okay, here we go. And so started this business and we have been, gosh, it's been 4 years and we have been killing it. We focus on multiple areas. We focus on the business side, the leadership side, and we focus heavily on the life side. And I thought it was just going to be a coaching practice. And I thought he was just going to have me, you know, just coach people and that was going to be it. And he has blown this thing up into 64, just Joel and I were hiring, we're bringing on facilitators for Next Level Life. Just between the two of us, we did 64 events last year. Just on the Next Level Life.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I mean, and I know you know about Next Level Life. It is.
Indeed.
It is so crazy powerful and life-changing. It's freeing. It frees people up in their life, gets them unstuck, and it changes the way they look at life and the decisions that they make. And so it's been nuts, and we love it and cannot imagine doing anything else. It's so difficult. I beat myself up all the time because I don't want to take vacation. I don't want to get away. I love what I'm doing, which is stupid. That is not prescriptive. My pastor says that's descriptive, not prescriptive.
Oh, that's good.
But it's tough to get away sometimes. So there you go. There's my story.
Wow. Well, folks, I'm going to have Chris talk about next level life later in our conversation, but I just want you all to know I've been to the office. The synergy, the momentum that Chris just described is real. It's really incredible. And that leads me to a subject we're talking about today, Chris. And I know it's really important to you and your work, and one that I believe is probably the most central theme for developing our best self personally and professionally. And that's a phrase you love, I love, and that's our root system. I'd love for you to talk to us about our root system and why understanding our root system is mission critical for success and fulfillment in life.
Yeah. So to talk about this, I have to talk about one of my passions, which is wine. I love wine and food. Mm-hmm. I fell in love with wine at a young age, and it was because of there's so much complexity that comes to it. The growing processes, how things are done, the things that make it successful, the things that destroy it. Mm-hmm. There's so much. I love to go out there and just hang out with the winemakers and the wine growers on the off season when nobody's there and just talk about the soil, talk about everything. And that, because of that love and that passion, an interesting thing happened years later. So as I'm doing a next level life event, I'm explaining to somebody about, so our goal is this. There's so much I got to give you on this.
Sure.
So we believe we have something that we call surface level responses. Everything that we do in next level life is based on what we call the root system. And that relates to wine in a specific way. It relates to the growing process in a specific way. And what people tend to do is have what's called the surface level responses. Surface level responses can be anything like anger. It can be procrastination. It can be manipulation. It can be guilt transfer. It can be alcoholism, drug addiction. It can be anything. It's the stuff that you do because you don't understand something that we say is buried in your root system. And what's buried down in your root system is stuff that you don't understand why it exists, why it happened, why it's a part of your life, and that can be anything. We believe that you are the sum of your past and what you've allowed to influence you. So whatever's happened in your past and whatever you've allowed to influence you is how you make your decisions. That's what you base your decisions on, because that's what you know. I mean, when I do this in an event, I'll say, give me anything, any decision that you made that has nothing to do with your past or something that you've allowed to influence you. And somebody will say something like, I decided to eat a burger. Really? Why? Oh, crud. I guess it's because I knew I liked burgers, or I decided a new restaurant. Why? Oh, crud. It's because I knew that I liked change. And I did, everything's based on things that have happened in the past.
Sure.
Well, when you throw in family, when you throw in bad situations, when you throw in, relatives, teachers, school kids, when you throw in all of this kind of stuff, something happens. There's these core impacts that happen in your life, and they become a huge part of your decision-making process. So we've had people that have come through that have had nothing bad happen in their life, period. I mean, that you just go through their life, and it's just been a loving, phenomenal, amazing life. And their decision-making still can be hung up on something that's really super positive instead of, something that is more realistic. So I'll give an example of somebody who hasn't had any problems. We've had people that come in that have been too loved in their life. Now I say that people go, can you possibly be too loved? You can when somebody chooses to love you in a way that you're perfect and you can't do anything wrong and you're the best thing on the planet. And what that does is that keeps you from understanding reality. You're not. You're just another human being, just like everybody else. And we've had folks that have come through that have been overloved, and then they get out into the real world and they're not the person they were convinced they were. They think that they are unbeatable in all areas of life. And then they go out and face life and it's like, wait a second, I'm just normal. Yeah, we all are.
Right.
We all have good things. We all have bad things. So you could find people that have had, you know, that type of life, or I've helped people all the way through. We've had multiple women that have been raped, men and women that have been molested, that have come through just the most horrendous situations in their lives. And by the way, everything we do is completely 100% private. It goes nowhere. We don't talk to spouses about stuff. We don't talk to anybody about this kind of stuff. And so we've had people that have come in, and because we have a judge-free environment, the reason why we don't judge people is because we understand why people do the things that they do. People are able to share the most deepest, darkest secrets so that they can discover why those things happened in their life and how it's affecting them now. So we don't do what counselors do. Now, I think everybody should have a counselor. I think it's great to have somebody to go talk to.
Absolutely, right.
But counselors stick on what we call the surface level response. So if something bad happened in your life, you're doing something now to numb it because you don't understand it, because you don't understand why it happened. You're doing this response, and they focus on here's how to solve the response. We don't mess around with that. We blow right past that and we go to the thing. We don't sit there and focus on it. We don't relive it. We don't have people, you know, get all emotional and you know, talk through that situation. We go and help them to see why the situation happened in the first place.
That's good.
And when they can see that, this is the beginning. And by the way, this takes 4 to 8 hours for us to do this.
Wow.
This is the beginning of the freedom, because they can see why, not just what. Everybody thinks they know why. Oh, I know why, because my dad used to beat me as a kid. No, that's the what. That's the what. We'll show you why he beat you as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Help you to see, discover these pieces. And when you're able to look, so if you have a dad who beat you as a kid, guess what? You've got a broken little kid in an adult body as a father. He's not an adult. This isn't a man. This is a broken little kid, and we'll help you to see why. That, all that information is the stuff that we say is coming from the root system. How that came about is one day I was in a next level life helping somebody to kind of understand this stuff. And I felt like God said, explain to them how their life is like one. And I was like, well, if that's you, this is going to be great. If that's not you, this is going to suck. So it's funny. I've had this passion since I was younger. And because of all the things I had learned, I was able to explain this process to somebody. And it, all of a sudden, it made total sense. And so again, it takes a very long time. It's a long process to explain. But all of a sudden, it made sense. Now I see why that happened. And
right.
We were able to move forward. And that is what we structured everything in Next Level Life around, is that root system process.
And a lot of us have extremely ambitious goals in life, and we want to be our best. But it's discovering these encumbrances on the inside that really could keep us stuck, or when dealt with, propel us into an even better version of ourselves. And you know, Chris, I believe in goal setting. You all joined in this conversation know it's a big deal for me. But you guys also know that I always say that if your internal programming says you're a mistake, you can't do this, inevitably you're going to fail. Why? Because the subconscious is a million times more powerful than your conscious mind. And as Chris was just saying, your root system promotes failure before you even start. So Chris, how do we first of all learn to recognize some of these encumbrances, and then secondly begin to deal with them head on?
Right. So for me to help an individual, it takes about, you know, like I say, anywhere from 4 to 8 hours just to get to that information to show them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's crazy powerful. So it's, I'm going to give the best I can on a podcast on what to do. It's going to be very difficult to understand those whys. Unless you've been trained to do this.
Right.
The thing you want to discover is you want to try and look back at the things that are constantly guiding you in your decision making. So, in other words, like you just shared, a lot of people, if we're fear-based, there's a reason that we're fear-based. What I believe is everything points back to worth. Everything points back to worth. Everything for me, I'm a believer.
Mm-hmm.
Points back to original sin, which is believing that God does not have our best interest at heart. And it points back to our worth. And so if I grow up in a family that constantly tells me, or an individual inside that family that constantly tells me that I'm a failure, guess what I believe? I'm a failure. And I don't take risks because I might fail. And if I fail, then I'm letting people down. And I'm constantly focusing on my worth coming from people. Wow. Well, I can promise you this. Your worth coming from a human being can only last about 5 minutes. And if it's a really good day, maybe it's a half hour, but really 5 minutes. And usually 30 seconds, right? You know, somebody tells you you did a great job. Oh, wow, I feel really good about myself for about 5 minutes. And then I've got to figure out another thing I can do to get them to tell me I did a great job again.
Sure.
Your worth should not ever, let me rephrase that. Your worth should not come mostly from man. And for us, about 99% of it comes from man. Now, right. I'm not saying you shouldn't get any. You should. You will get some worth from what you do. We'll get some worth from being a spouse, a parent, you know, a great team member, a leader. You'll get some. The problem is we get almost every single bit of it, if not 100%, from doing those things. So we get our worth and our value from humans. Now, as kids, we get our worth and our value from our parents. So that trains us to do exactly that. What I teach parents to do is teach your kids that God is their parent more than you are. That he owns them and he's their father. It does two things. It points them in the right direction for worth, and it allows them to see you as fallible so you don't have to be perfect. So you get to do a great job raising a great kid.
Right.
And it removes a ton of the junk that comes with parenting that we think we have to be. And so when you discover that your worth can come from something greater than what you see around you, is it okay that I'm talking all this God stuff?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, I should have ran that by in the beginning. So for me, my greatest worth is not, listen, I appreciate the compliment you gave me at the top of the show. It means a lot to me because it means that what we are doing here is having an impact in your life.
Yeah, you are. Yeah.
But if I hold on to that compliment and that sets my worth, guess what? Now I've got to make Chris think that I'm great again. I've got to do something to get Chris to tell me that I'm great again. And how can I possibly, we don't even talk. I don't see you every 24 hours a day. So if I can't get it from Chris, then I've got to go get it from Joel or Heather or Mary Beth or Savannah, or I've got to go find somebody that I've got to get this from. Mm-hmm. And how long could they possibly keep that up? This is ridiculous. My worth is not in what man thinks. My worth is in the fact that God is so crazy about me and loves me so much. And for a lot of people out there, this is really rocking their worlds because they grew up with a father figure or a mother figure that was not great. And they thought that they put that same stamp on God saying, well, if my parents like this, God must be like this. And he's not. God loves me so much that he took on the world's worst and most humiliating death. Yeah. So that I could have everlasting life with him. So that act of love on the cross is what is my proof of how much he loves me. And it is minuscule. To me, it's monumental. It's huge. But to him, it's like, oh, I love you even way more than that. So my worth comes from a God who gives me constant 24/7 love, as opposed to trying to get it from human beings who are also trying to get worth themselves. And so all this wraps around, if you're looking into why you make bad decisions and why you're fearful of being a failure, here's the key. If you are getting your worth from an unhealthy or toxic person, what kind of worth is it? It's not good. It's unhealthy. So if you're afraid of failing because somebody constantly told you in your life that you're a failure, then guess what? You're constantly getting your worth from unhealthy people, because somebody who tells you you're a failure all the time is not healthy. That's somebody who's insanely selfish and manipulative and controlling. So instead, you have to understand your worth can, if you choose it to, come from a consistent source that is 100% full love, or you can keep getting your worth from unhealthy and toxic people and asking yourself, why is this not working? Does all that make sense?
Absolutely. And I'm pretty confident in saying that you just hit the bullseye on so many people's hearts. Maybe there are some people, though, that are joined in this conversation, Chris, who are saying, listen, I'm fine. I get work done. I make good money. I feel fulfilled. This subject doesn't apply to me. It's just psychobabble. How would you respond to it, Chris? Because this is something that's near to me and near to you. But sometimes I do run into people who say, I'm doing just fine.
Yeah. And they are doing just fine. That's exactly it.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, the acronym for fine is feelings inside, not expressed. Here's the thing. We're all missing something. There's one thing you cannot escape, and that is we belong to God. Folks that don't believe in God, it doesn't matter if you do. It's like the old Count of Monte Cristo. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't believe in God anymore. That's all right. He still believes in you. You can't escape the fact that we belong to somebody else. We're here because he told us to be here. We're here because he created us. He made us. Yeah. And so until we are reconciled with him, until we are with him fully, there's always going to be junk in our lives because we live in a fallen world. Mm-hmm. You can't escape that. So for somebody to say, I'm just fine, you're right. You're just fine. You're missing out on joy. You're missing out on a lot of other things. Oh, Chris, I get my joy from my work. No, you get your worth. You get your acceptance. You get your identity from your work. How long is that going to last? What happens when that is taken away? I have entrepreneurs and leaders in their 60s that come see me. And it's such, I mean, it's awesome to work through the different generations. I mean, our youngest client was 17.
Wow.
16, 17. And our oldest was like 65, I think. And it's amazing to work through the generations, but that generation got their identity from their work.
Right.
And they struggle in turning over businesses, and they struggle turning over stuff because their identity comes. Even these are guys that will even say, oh, I have a great relationship with God. I have a deep relationship with God. And then when you walk through the process, they go, oh my gosh, I don't. And they're trying to figure out why they're struggling, and everything is tied up in what they accomplish in life. And they do it for years and say, life is great, life is great, life is great. Then they discover this and they go, wow, life actually was not great. Life was okay. Now I'm freed up and life really is great now. Or it's a heck of a lot better than it was. So people who feel like, no, that doesn't apply to me, that's fine. That's fine. The problem is that you need to search deep down inside. Like I say, I've had people that have come through mm-hmm. that have never had a single problem and walked away going, my life is, I'm so blessed. My life is great, but oh my gosh, I've been missing out on having a deeper relationship with God or understanding the things that he's trying to do in my life or how I can parent my kids better. So, and I'm not saying that because I want to say, oh, well, I'm right and they're wrong. That's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is that when somebody thinks if the God element is missing, if that relationship is missing, that worth from him is missing, and they believe that everything is great in their life, I can promise you, if I had time to sit down with them, we would discover that there are painful things inside that they've been avoiding. Mm-hmm. There are painful things inside that they may have shoved under a rug. There's so many folks that come in and they go, oh, I don't deal with that anymore, which they think. And by the time they leave, they go, okay, you're so right. I do deal with that on a consistent basis. And what I'm doing is saying, I don't deal with that. I don't deal with that. I'm not going to deal with that anymore. I was done with that 7 years ago.
Yeah.
Really? Why is it still coming up? And because we convince ourselves that we have compartmentalized stuff and gotten it out of the way, which is why we go, we don't want to focus on the thing. Let us show you why. And then you can truly get rid of the thing altogether.
Chris, I work with a lot of people who beneath the surface, we've discovered maybe there's a tendency towards an addictive personality. Where do you think addiction comes into play in regard to root system? Like, you know, we try to avoid pain in life. Fear of change is a big deal. And then we turn to things for escapism. Where does that play into root system in your experience?
So there's in my world, there's two different types of addictions. There are chemical addictions that are caused because you're choosing something that in itself has a chemical control on you. whether that's drugs, whether that's something like cigarettes. There are certain chemical addictions that force the body and the brain to continue to go after them. There are certain foods that are chemically addicting. So those things are, so when we're talking about these addictions, I'm going to talk about both of them. The chemical addiction, the addiction is coming from you choosing to numb yourself, you choosing to escape, you choosing to go with something that makes you feel happy or better or change your pleasure centers because of something else that you don't understand. Now, we can spend 7 hours talking about that.
Sure.
So if you don't understand why your dad beat you as a kid, if you don't understand why your mom constantly told you you weren't good enough, if you don't understand why you were rejected in school, if you don't understand, all those things cause you to do what we call the surface level response. The addiction side of it, there are so many people who want to say addiction is in your genes. And I'm not saying that there aren't biomarkers. There are markers inside of your genes that you can have a tendency, but here's the keys. Why are you choosing that thing? So one of the number one things that people choose that they do not realize is an addiction is sugar. Sugar is huge as an addiction. Sugar does horrid things to your body. It absolutely destroys your gut microbiome, causing a chain reaction of a bunch of other bad health things to happen, which again, I can speak on that for hours. But here's one of the key things it does. It absolutely changes the pleasure centers in your brain. They have done so many MRIs and studies about this that sugar does the same thing as cocaine in your brain. So why is it that when we're stressed out, oh gosh, I just need, I need a Coke, I need a candy bar, I need a whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Why do we go to that? Because it numbs you from feeling bad, from feeling horrible. Why do those of us who went to food? Because food brings me joy. I love great, and I'm not somebody who eats crap. You know, right. I'm going to eat something. I'm going to eat something that I enjoy. I don't go, you know, grab a bag of Doritos. I'm going to eat a fantastic ribeye or seven. You know, I'm going to do, you know, that really make me happy when it comes to food. So the addiction comes along in a way of saying, this is going to make me feel better, different, happier, numb, whatever. Here's the problem. And this is why, again, I love counselors. I'm glad that counselors are out there. If we solve only the surface level response, let's say somebody has an alcohol problem. They're choosing to numb with alcohol for a reason because it's working. Oh, alcoholism is hereditary. No, it's not. No, it's not. You were taught by watching somebody choose alcohol that worked when they felt horrible. And then one day you chose to try it and went, oh, it does work.
Yeah.
So this concept, there are tons of people with alcoholic parents that never become alcoholics. You know, this concept of, oh, if you ever touch it, you're going to, no, that is just fear-based crap.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what you have to understand. You're choosing to make you either feel better or not feel at all. And what happens is it works. And we recognize that it works. So we go back to the same thing.
Yeah.
When you solve the alcoholism, so let's say you take, I am so glad AA is out there, but there's one thing I completely disagree with, one piece that I disagree with, that you will always, always be under the control of that alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
That's not true. You change your life with God. You can see people that never are alcoholics again. I'm not saying go do that.
Right.
I'm focused on the life with God. Because what's happening is until you find a different way to deal with the thing, the temptation of going back to that thing that numbs will always be there. So when you solve the surface level response, I have seen this over and over and over again. Solve alcoholism, they become manipulators. They become abusive people, or they become procrastinators, or they become victims. because you didn't solve the bigger thing, which is buried deep down in the root system, which is the why they're choosing the alcohol, why they're in that, they feel the need to numb. When you solve that, they no longer need the, feel the need to numb. We've had people come through with crazy addictions that once they solved that and they went, oh my gosh, you mean I'm doing this because of this? Yeah. Well, that's really silly. Yep. And they change their decision-making process. And so they don't go from one addiction to another, which is what happens so often. You solve one addiction, they have to go find a different addiction to continue to numb or escape or, you know, whatever. Does all that make sense?
It does. Chris, I'd love to swing in a slightly different direction. And I'd love to ask, as a leader and someone who invests a lot of your energy into developing people, how is failure in life shaped your ability to recognize the need for root system level health in you and motivated you to pursue it until it became reflexive?
I'm an expert at failing. I mean, I have failed so many times in my life, man.
Wow.
I have failed a ton. I have a saying, being afraid to fail is like being afraid to go to school to learn. To the person who will allow it, failure is a phenomenal teacher. The problem is people are afraid to fail because they lose worth. If they fail, they're a bad person. They're not good enough. Parents hate them. You know, all the lies that they tell themselves, all these things that they experience is the reason why they don't like to fail. Mm-hmm. And so for me here, we're failures here. I tell my team, if you're not failing at something, you're not working hard enough at what you do. So I don't mind if you fail. Two things. Don't let it be a fatal failure where it really destroys something. And don't continue to fail at the same thing more than once.
That's good.
Learn from it. Learn from it and do something. Now, as I say that, it is much easier to learn from a business failure than it is a moral failure.
Yeah, I believe that. Yeah.
If you are stuck in pornography, man, oh man, oh man. See, a lot of people don't understand the addiction of pornography. They think it's a sexual thing. And it's really not. You know, people get into pornography because you want to see naked people. You want to see something that turns you on. The addiction side of it is not about sex. It happens in the area of sex, but it's not about sex. It's about controlling your low. It's about taking you to a place of something that you can't handle or understand or, you know, that again, back into that root system, there's something that is messing you up and this has become a trigger in your life. Mm-hmm. And so you go back to it knowing you're going to hate it, knowing you're going to hate the outcome, knowing you're going to feel bad about yourself. And people don't understand that. They think, oh, it's just about sex. No, it is in the beginning. For a lot of people, that is in the beginning, but it has become such a bondage issue. So it's different when you fail at work. You can solve those work failures. Hey, listen, don't talk to that person like that again. But when you fail at home or you fail morally,
yeah,
it is difficult to overcome that failure because you keep trying to solve the failure. There's only one way to solve that. Mm-hmm. And it has to be with your relationship with God. It can't be with a counselor. I can't solve that for you. I can show you the path. And that's the great thing about what we do is we give people a path of fixing all this stuff. But you have to actually say, I'm going to go work my butt off.
That's good.
This relationship over here to solve this crazy thing that I keep doing.
That brings me to a point of curiosity, especially with guys. Talking about emotional development, Chris, in light of all of this, what's a real man look like? What's a real man?
Wow, dude, I'm so glad you asked that question. Nobody's ever asked me that before. So this is going to be the first time I've answered this like this. So let me process as I'm going.
Sure, sure.
A real man for me is somebody who understands that it is not all about them. Life is not all about you. Mm-hmm. A real man leads, doesn't tell what to do, doesn't need to be in control, doesn't need to be abusive, doesn't need to be manipulative. He leads people lovingly. He loves well. This is one of the most difficult things. So you talked about the emotional side. Men who are not raised by men who know how to love well, don't love well. Mm. Now, if you had a great mom that maybe poured in a lot of the emotional side to you, that's great. Maybe you do get that. But we take so much direction from our other men, right? And so you have to understand, love is the number one thing. It's the number one key. And it's not a lot of the stuff that we're hearing nowadays, which means you let people do whatever they want to do and you rail on the people who don't line up with what you think. Loving is actually caring more about another person than you care about yourself. And so a real man knows how important it is to raise incredible children that are focused on God, knows that how to take care of a spouse and to not hurt that spouse, and how not to be incredibly selfish and self-centered. A real man understands the importance of busting his butt to put food on the table and not being a victim ever. A real man knows what days to be a supportive counselor and lover and what days to be a soldier. And some days we have to be soldiers, and some days we have to be loving, compassionate people. So those are just some of the things that in my world, you know, is what makes up a real man.
That's awesome. I think too many people react to life instead of responding to life from a place of, you know, healthy identity and purpose. Could you provide a few daily disciplines that you practice that really set yourself up for success?
Yeah. Every day I don't do this sucks. So
get ready, guys.
Something goes wrong every day. It is so funny. Almost every single morning. The first thing I do is I get up and I get on my knees and I pray for a very long time. It's body painful. Let me just say that. Because I used to do the brief prayer, you know, and the reason why I've got to get out of bed and get on my knees is because if I keep laying in bed, it takes me 7 hours to pray. So yeah. Pray out loud. Actually, I speak it out loud because it keeps my brain from going in 700 different directions. And so I get up and I will pray and I will spend time in prayer. I don't have to be on my knees. Sometimes I can get up and walk around and all that kind of stuff. But I spend time talking to the one person mm-hmm. who can change anything in my life, the one person who can have an impact in my life, the one person I owe my life to. And I spend time and I do three areas. I always teach people. I learned this when I was back in ministry a couple decades ago. A quick way to pray, not a quick way, but a way to separate your prayer up. Thankfulness. I'm always thankful. I'm always trying to start every prayer being thankful about something. Because when you're thankful, it changes your life. And Zig was a big promoter of that as well. You have to be thankful. Then pray for other people, and then pray for you. You can do 5, 5, and 5 if you can make a 15-minute prayer out of that. And a lot of people struggle to make 15 minutes. Then I will get up and let me jump to the health side. I drink homemade bone broth every day. It's good for your gut. Do it. Just do it.
It is. I agree. Yep.
It's easy to make and just put it in your gut. And then I get into the word and I spend a lot, depending upon what time I wake up. I usually wake up somewhere around 5, 5:30. Just depends, you know, whatever time my eyes open up. And then I get up and I will spend time in the word. So, and then I try, one other big discipline is I try to eat healthy on a daily basis.
Chris, just a couple more things for you. What are you reading right now that we all need to read? You're brilliant. And I'm like, man, if Chris is reading it, I need to read it.
Love Does by Bob Goff.
Such a good book.
Get the book.
It's a game changer.
Oh my gosh.
Chris, in just our last few minutes here together, landing the plane. I mentioned it earlier, guys, and I want to just take a few minutes. Chris, you have two phenomenal programs, Next Level Life and Strat Plan, both of which I need to do. I'd love for everyone joined with us to know a bit about each and really how they might connect with you and the team.
Sure. Next Level Life is the thing I didn't even know it was going to happen. And it's just something I've been doing this for decades and not realizing what I was doing. God has just guided me to this place. It is a 2-day intense event. You come here Thursday and Friday. We say Thursday is the emotional day. Friday is the fun day. So because Thursday you learn through root system and you learn all the things that are holding you back and you learn all the things that are jacking up your decision-making process and the things that are keeping you stuck and why certain people are controlling or manipulative in your life and why people are hurting you or, you know, why you feel rejected or why you feel all this stuff. We go through all the lies that you tell yourself and believe, and the lies that other people tell you and you believe. We go through all of that stuff as well. And then on Friday, we put it all back together, and we give this process and this path of do these things that changes your life forever. And it is, everybody on this planet needs this event. Everybody. Yes. I actually, yes. We even do with some folks will come back through a year later and do like a 1 day or 2 day follow up, because it's just, it's that incredibly powerful. Mm. And the testimonies that we have are ridiculous. It's just powerful. Same thing with strat plan. So the concepts that we do in Next Level Life are kind of like the concepts we do in strat plan. We rip apart the business. We bring a leadership team comes in. I should stop using the word rip apart. That's never a trap. Like, oh, so that's going to suck, right? We go through, people think that their problems with their business is that they need to make money, and making money is not the issue. I find people millions of dollars. The smallest amount we found was like at $500,000. The greatest amount was $50 million in 3 years.
Wow.
That they weren't planning on. We do every single event, we discover money that they're not planning on, that they have, they just don't see it. That's easy for me to do. It's what I do. The bigger issue is not knowing all the things that are holding you back,
right?
That are keeping you from growing. So one of the things I say to people coming in all the time is, if we doubled your income right now, what would happen to your business? And they're like, oh my gosh, we would self-implode. There's no way we can handle that. Right. You couldn't, because you're not in a place to be able to handle the growth. So stop focusing on the growth side of stuff. I'll help you to see all the areas that are holding you back, or the most powerful ones. The interesting thing is that we have people that do strat plan every single year. And so the first year we're focusing on way low level stuff. I mean, it's just jacked up, and we got to solve all these things and culture issues and communication. And then the next year, 12 months later, it is like we're at 7 levels higher.
Wow.
Because we've worked through all of that stuff. Now we focus on something else. And then the next year, which is, it's still only, the third event is still only 2 years later. So from start to, from the first event to the third event, it's only 24 months. And we are hitting stuff that people are like, how in the world did we get here in 24 months? And I'm like, I need to have
That's
a
camera. Awesome.
First event and go, hey, remember the little silly things we talked about down here? And now look at where we are. So that's why we have people that come through it year after year.
So good.
And all of that stuff, if you go to chrislacurta.com, that's where information is.
Wonderful. Chris, thank you so much. I just, your time is so appreciated, and I really value you in my life, and I know thousands of people across the country are really benefiting from you. So thanks for taking time for me today.
Absolutely, brother. Thanks for having me on, and I appreciate you, and can't wait till you're back down here and swing by and hang out with us again.
It's going to be real fun. We'll have to cook in that gorgeous kitchen of yours.
Absolutely.
Awesome, Chris. Well, thanks for being here. We'll talk again soon.
Sounds good, brother. All right, bye-bye.
Well, folks, I trust you've been challenged and empowered by my friend Chris Locurdo. I highly encourage you to connect with him over at chrislocurdo.com. Also, he has a fantastic podcast, The Chris Locurdo Show. It's on iTunes right now. If you're interested in learning more about Next Level Life and Strat Plan, please reach out to Chris's team today. And many of you are brand new to the show, so I say thank you for investing your time into growing and becoming a better version of yourself through Win today. Would you do me a huge favor? Go to iTunes, either from the podcast app on your phone or from your desktop computer, and write a kind review of Win today. It'd mean a lot to me. Thanks so much for joining me again today. Please remember, we are the sum of our past and our influences, but our present and future do not have to be negatively affected by the past if we're willing to take steps towards healing and wholeness. Until next time, my friends, please visit me over at chriscookis.com for blogs and archived podcasts, all designed to help you become the very best you're capable of becoming. I really believe in you. Have an awesome week. We'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.